Our first reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The word of the Lord. Our second reading this morning is from 1 Timothy chapter 1. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason I receive mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 15. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one who is lost until he finds it? Now when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. How many of you have ever been lost? Physically. It is a common experience, I think, in life. How many of you have asked for directions? Oh, not as many. It's a common experience in life. We will discover, as Pastor Julie said, our theme is Be the Light, Be the Light. We will continue to discover throughout the year from Scripture what it means not only to be the light, but I think to start up with why we have to be the light in the first place. Is that sound coming out? Okay, I'm going to turn my head mic off and put this on. Okay, you ready? There, is that more consistent, I hope? Consistency is what I'm trying to get at golf. I'm going to try to do that in the preaching as well. Today, the gospel lesson is about being lost. And you might say that's far from what it means to be the light. But I think what this gospel lesson is talking about is Jesus, as he talks to Pharisees and scribes, you have to understand who these folks were. They were not just the religious leaders. They were the ones who interpreted what the rules should be. That's quite a bit of power. And they wrote them down so that all would follow those rules completely. Jesus is speaking to them as if they are the ones who have the problem. They're the ones that haven't gotten it into their heads that they too are lost at times and need to be found. So part of this lesson is bringing us to that place in life that we don't like to always want to admit, that of being lost. But we are. But how do we get lost? We have GPSs. I got to tell you, I think it's actually funny because I was at a funeral of a good friend of mine on Friday, and we were going to the cemetery, and the funeral car director was first, and he had his GPS where the cemetery was, and we get down to Cottage Grove, and we turn one way, and I said to Linda, I said, this is not the right way. It should be on the other side. So this whole procession of cars is coming there, and we come to one of those turnabouts, and so the guy with the motorcycle stops, and they're talking. You can see them, and they recognize they had gone the wrong direction. So now we go around the turnabout like this, and now the procession is going this way. And I'm thinking, Inez would have loved this one. So we were lost for the moment. Even GPSs don't give us always the right direction, right? I've ended up in the end of a street, a dead-end street sometimes with GPS, insisting to Sylvia, which I call the voice on my GPS, that you have it wrong. And she says very graciously, at the earliest convenience, please turn around. We get some poor directions sometimes in life, and I think that's why Jesus told this parable. The Pharisees and scribes were not the only ones that somehow were lost. We are lost as well. And I think one of those poor directions is this, that somehow we are just bent, and maybe it's because we've been told this, maybe it's because we somehow think it's the right thing to do, just like the Pharisees and scribes, but we only see life as somehow as a pursuit of things, and somehow as the pursuit for importance, status, we may call it. And I think we have gotten so ingrained in that, and we keep doing it, but what happens is we find ourselves at the dead end of a street sometimes. We find out that all those things that we have accumulated that somehow we're supposed to give us the real directions of how to live life, and all that pursuit of importance and status and recognition, all that stuff that we felt that somehow was the source of our goal in life is short-lived, or it doesn't give us anything in the end. It leaves us unsatisfied still and searching even more. And what we've lost in that encounter that happens so often, and we are bombarded with it that we think it's natural, what we lost in that encounter is that promise that what it means to be a child of God is simply to be loved and accepted, not for what we've done, not what we've produced, not even for all the things we have, but because God has chosen to make that statement clear to us in Jesus. Instead of wandering aimlessly, trying to find out what purpose and meaning and value we have in life, Jesus calls us back to the truth that all those are found not in things and importance and status, but in the very promise that we are claimed as a child of God. And so this lesson for today of the lost sheep and the lost coin draws upon what Psalm 23 has said at its very end, and I've said so often, I forgive me for repeating myself, but the last verse, I grew up always being this gentle, kind of compassionate, you know, almost syrupy way of saying, well, that's okay, you got problems, but Jesus is there. But the Hebrew word for this word is an extremely aggressive pursuit. That mercy and grace of God will truly follow us all the days of the life should be read, that God will chase us down. Like the shepherd willing to give up the rest of the sheep to seek the lamb, like the woman who turns her house upside down to find one measly coin, that in this promise that God's mercy and grace will pursue us is where we will find our sense of value and worth. God will catch up with us, you see, and embrace us in God's loving arms as a shepherd carries the lost sheep home. Now, those who are called first responders, those are the ones that we just honored today, and we are remembering not only in this place, but over the TV airways over the last few days. Those who are called first responders, in my opinion, demonstrate the commitment to be the light of God in the world. To use their training and skills, that repetitive training and skills, in order to carry out a way in which they provide safety and care for the rest of us in need. The stories of 9/11 continue to ring in my ears. Where I was that day was right here in church with contractors who were tearing down walls and building, and Angie and I moved the TV out, and together we watched this horrific ordeal. And what we saw were people who put themselves into harm's way, doing the job that they had been trained to do, doing the job that they had been skilled to do and practiced again and again in order to bring others out into safety. They were urgent, they were immediate about their work. Jesus continues to remind us who find ourselves falling into a sense of complacency that the work of God is urgent and immediate, that the work of Jesus Christ to go out and seek those who are lost, who are caught up in the ways of this world in which somehow value is determined by so many other things besides being the child of God and loved and forgiven, this work is urgent. If you think that the world is going to change because we all sit back and have those and gripe about it, we have something to think about. Because the work of Jesus is for today, not just then. Jesus' love and acceptance, the willingness to seek those who are lost into whatever way they may be lost, is the answer to a world that's tumbling into disarray. The rhetoric that we hear on TV and in our public voices continue to remind us the necessity for us to speak the gospel to a hurting world. Compassion and forgiveness and acceptance, that's the message of Jesus. This is the work of the one who understood the urgency and the immediacy for us to be found. This is the work in which God intended in Jesus. And so what we do is we invest. As Jesus invested his whole life, we invest our time and money and skills into the very work of being the light of Christ. In baptism, we give a candle, and it's not just a cute thing to do. It's a candle that's followed by these words, "Let your light so shine." Not so they can reflect on you, but so that they may give glory to God, who has given us everything. Be the light. Why? Because the world, as we heard in the first lesson, is surrounded in darkness. They are lost as we find ourselves as well. Be the light means to be fully engaged in the work of Jesus and not to sit back and say, let someone else do that. We are all called to be the light. Go out into the world. Go out, we hear every Sunday. And let people know about a God who is merciful, who is never tiring of loving and forgiving and affirming these people. And let them know that it's not what they do, but who they are, whose they are, that becomes the turning point in every life. There was a time in Africa, and you'll hear more about this again, I got a chance to teach Genesis 1 through 22. I thought I would do that in an hour, but it was 2.5 hours later that I finished them. And I asked throughout the time, but I asked at the end, can someone just, a few of you, summarize what you've learned? And one man raised his hand, stood up, and he said, I learned that you are different than me. And I'm thinking, okay. And he says, you are white, I am black. You live in America, I live in Tanzania. And he went on, and he said, but what I learned in the story of Genesis is that it's not what's outside that matters, but it is the image of God that God has planted inside each and every one of us. That's the message that we go out and seek those who are lost, and we, when we are lost, need to hear that they and we are included in the image of God. We are this child of God, forgiven, loved, and now sent. We are the light. Let us be that light. Starting today, let us be that light in our schools, in our workplaces, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our state, in the world. Let us be the light and want to walk in that light of Jesus. Amen.